I'm so excited to share the Word of God because I believe that if all of us on the same page and understand what I'm going to share to you, I believe our life will be dynamic. Let's see the title page of it, if I can show that. All right. Oh, it looks like that. Okay. That is what it is. The Spirit of Life, the series that we're doing because we are anticipating, preparing for Pentecost. We are preparing for Pentecost. Pentecost is next week. And last week, Brother Josh shared to us that one of the big religious Christian holiday that was often overlooked is Pentecost. We celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Pascha, but we sometimes overlook the Pentecost, and he brought up the point that actually Pentecost is very important if we understand what it means. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And last week he showed this slide, and I want to talk about it a little bit because it will lead into my sermon today. But before we talk about this, why don't we spend 1 minute in prayer so that you are all full focus, concentration, that your heart and your life is in this room and toward the message. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit help us to understand your word. Your Holy Spirit, God, we invite right now to bring revelation into our mind and our life and our spirit. So whatever that we listen to, we do not ignore, but we heed, we listen, and we keep. Because your word is power. Your word is food. But a lot of time, God, we also realize the weakness of our mind. It likes to wander. We ask help. Holy Spirit, help us to concentrate. In Jesus' name, all God's people says, amen. Bethlehem means God with us. How is that so? Because Bethlehem is the place that Jesus was born, a God of the universe, the great spirit, has chosen Bethlehem as the place of his birth. His human manifestation took place in Bethlehem. So we say Bethlehem means God with human, with us. The God that is spirit has chosen to manifest himself as a person, as a human being, as Jesus. Calvary means God for us. Calvary is the place where Jesus died and paid the penalty of our sin. And Calvary is God for us. It does not necessarily only mean that God give us something, but it means God for us means he is on our side. He is on our side. Why? Because between God and humanity, there is a big gap because of our sin. Big gap. And God knows that we on our own cannot cross that gap. God is on the holy side. We are on a sinful side. So God, in his grace and love, has chosen to cross the gap. He is now on our side. And on our side is not only becoming human. He is on our side, meaning he is now for us instead of against us. When we were separated by the gap, God is our enemy. Now he is for us. He is our friend. Through what Jesus has done in Calvary. Pentecost means God in us. Not only the work of salvation was accomplished 2,000 years ago. Not only that. He did not just do the job, pay for the sin, and leave. He did not do that. 50 days after Pascha. Pascha happened to be the same time, same day as the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then Jesus went up to the heaven. But 50 days after that, the Bible said, he poured out his spirit upon us. He poured out. When he poured out his spirit, that means his spirit is living in us. That is why Pentecost means God is in us. Hallelujah. That is the exciting thing, that he did not leave. He did not just say, okay, I'm done. You know, I died for you. I pay for your sin. No, because he continued to be with us in our spirit, be with us, very close, very intimate. Pentecost is God in us. That is exciting to me. If you think about it, I have more time to think about this than you, because you are just listening it now. But as I think about it more and more, I am getting more and more excited. And I hope that when you think about it more and more, you are as excited with me. I want to ask you this question before I continue. If someone asks you this question, what is your source of life? What is your source of life? Think about this a bit. What is in life that gives you that energy, that allows you to do activities and strength and dynamic thing? What makes you have that power? What can make you truly alive? Whoa, when you get up in the morning, I am alive. What is that source? Anybody want to try? What makes you think that I'm alive and not just existing? Food. All right. That is a good answer. Yes? Food. Of course, you need food. Without food, you cannot have energy. Any more ideas? Yes? Air. Woo! Air is good. Without air, you are dead. Any good good ideas and good answers? You're never wrong if you answer Jesus, right? But because we are talking about the Holy Spirit, the title of that is the Spirit of Life. In fact, I want to bring you on a short journey, brief journey, because I want to show you through the Word of God that indeed, actually, the Holy Spirit is your source of life. The spirit of, in Greek, it says dunamos, power. You know dynamo? Dynamo is, I'm sure you probably don't know, because nowadays you don't ride bike anymore. But in the old days, the lamp in front, you know, you have lamp in the bike, and then the lamp is powered by the battery, but not battery. Now, today is battery, but before it's dunamo. And dunamo is when you pedal, it generates electricity too. But never mind, it's always, well, dynamic. Dynamite. Dynamite is another word for dunamos. Okay, now you know dunamos. Dynamite. This thing is, if you put a little bit of fire, it's going to bang with power. Anyway, the spirit. But let me tell you a story. Okay, let me tell you the story. It's a history story, so some people like history, some people don't like history, but because you are here, you have to listen to this, okay? You have to listen to this, and it is important to, well, I'm telling you, this is information. And some people complain, Pastor, don't just give us information, give us motivation, give us something that we can move on. But without information, there is no motivation to do anything. How many know that the choice in our life is based on what we believe, and what we believe is because we know something? So you have to start with knowing, right? So I will bring you a brief history talking about the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is seldom talked about in churches all over the world. I know this for sure. It's historical. We know so much about the Father because we sing about the Father, you know, Father of creation. We know a lot about Jesus because he is the one that went to the cross for us, and he is the Lord and Savior of our lives. But how much you know about Holy Spirit? Not much. So let me tell you the story. So, and it starts with Pentecost. Do you know that Pentecost is day one of the church of Jesus Christ on earth? Day one. So if you want to say, what is the birthday anniversary of the church? Well, IF Japanol is sometime October, sometime November. We don't really, you know, put much importance to that, okay? But if you ask, if you want to ask, what is the birthday of the church? It is the day of Pentecost in AD 30. AD 30, that is the first Pentecost, that is day one of the church, because at that time, Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit upon fearful, discouraged, disappointed group of people and generate new life. They become a church. That is day one. And so AD 30 Pentecost, day one of the church. But for the next 300 years, this is a little bit history, don't get to sleep on me, okay? For the next 300 years, though, Christian had to run everywhere in fear because the Roman empires think that this group of people is a threat to their kingdom because they gain popularity and more people kind of sympathize to this new movement. And then, so the Roman Empire chased the Christian, you know, for the next 300 years. And then not only that, among the Jewish people where this particular branch of belief is, the establishment, the Judaism priests and the temple structure, they didn't like Christians. So they are being pushed out from their society and they are being chased by the Roman Empire. So they run everywhere in the Roman in the Mediterranean cities and nation, run everywhere for the next 300 years. But in the 300 years, turns out instead of this movement called Christianity become dead or being get rid of from the face of the earth, it grew stronger. Many, many intellectuals, many, many noblemen come to the faith because they see something is very different about these people, this group of people that call themselves Christian. And then so many, many intelligent people, they're still running away, but as they run away, they preach the gospel, and the many, many intelligent people, noblemen, and then just the common man, and they become a believer. But still, they were under persecution until the year 323 AD, because of the growing influence, the growing believers. In the year AD 323, Christianity was made state religion by the Roman emperor by the name of Constantine. Okay? So after 300 years, now suddenly the Christianity was recognized as state religion in the whole Roman Empire. What does that mean? Why do I tell you all that? The reason I tell you all that is because now people have time, Christians have time, the smart people, faithful people have time to think about our faith. What is Christianity? What do we have to believe as a Christian? We've been all running all these years and we never really agree on anything. So There were many, many cultic beliefs. You know, there were several versions of the book that they accepted in addition to the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of Matthew. Now there was also out there the Gospel of Barnabas, the Gospel of Thomas, and all kind of books that claim that we are Christian. But we are actually not Christian. So this group of people come together and then talk about it. Okay, in order for you to be called Christian, what do you have to believe? So in the year 325, 2 years after the Christianity become the state religion, 325, they come together in the city of Nicene. Nicene is the city in Turkey. come together, and these people that come together, we call them the fathers of the church. Or another people give them the title, the doctor of the church. The doctor is not physical doctor, but doctor means somebody who knows a lot. So the doctors or the fathers of the church come together, that sit around, and they figure out what is Christianity means. If you want to call yourself Christian, what do you have to believe? So they write it down, and then, you know, they play with words, and they read the Bible, pray together. And then 50 years later, in the year 381, they come together again to make sure that the one that they talked about in 50 years ago is still good. So in the year 381, they come together again in the city of Constantinople. How many know what is the new name of the city of Constantinople? It's that is the capital city of the Eastern Roman Empire at that time, but now it has a new name. What is the name? Turkey is the name of the country. It is in, that's right, Istanbul. Istanbul. Okay? So in the city of Istanbul or Constantinople, they come. And now they write down, this is it. This is Christianity. So I want to show you the document they produce in the year 381. It's called Nicene Constantinople Creed. Creed means belief. It's small, and the color is not too helpful because it's blue. But let me just tell you three things in here. Okay? I'm going to read it to you, and you must be very interested and not falling asleep because this is your faith. Okay? This is you. I am telling you your history. All right? So pay attention quickly and intensely. I'm going to read it to you so that nobody ever going to tell you you don't know nothing about Christianity. Right? So nobody can tell you, you know nothing, Jon Snow. You know now. All right. If you don't get that, that's okay. It's not important. All right. So this is Nicene Constantinople Creed. You need to know this because you can now check, are you a Christian or not? A lot of people assume that you are Christian because your parents are Christian or you go to Christian school. But here, do you believe this? So I'm going to just read it very, very quickly because my intention is not to explain this, but there's one particular section that I want you to look at. We believe in, there's three sections. Okay, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and all of all things visible and invisible. That's item number one. We believe in the Father. Item number two, we believe also in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then a long explanation, who this Jesus Christ? And you must understand, they are trying to fight cultic beliefs. A lot of people think that Jesus never came, never exists. It's only a concept. They put it down here long. It's reflecting on their reaction to the cultic belief. They want to make sure everybody know that Jesus did come. So they put it all this statement. I'm going to just read it to you one time. The Son of God, the only begotten, begotten of the Father, before all ages, light of light, very God of very God. What does that mean, very God of very God? Because a lot of people think that Jesus is a creation, is a created being. So they want to make sure that you, if you want to be Christian, you have to believe that God, Jesus is God, the very God of the very God. Begotten, not made. I mean, he is not made, not created like us. He is begotten of the Father, of one essence with the Father. What does one essence mean? Essence mean, what does Jesus made of? If you talk about this stand, this is made of metal with the black paint and some plastic thing here that is essence. And what he's saying, I think I need to slow down to let you think a bit. The essence of Jesus is of the Father. Same. Means he is God. It's not different in essence with the Father. Not made of one essence with the Father by whom all things were made. Who, and this is the story, right? Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate and suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scripture and ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. You know, it's a long description about the life of Jesus. Why? Again, it is to fight wrong belief at that time. Okay? That's the second element of the Nicene Constantinople Creed. This is the last one. This is what I want to concentrate because this is Pentecost. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life. Who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke, Holy Spirit spoke, by the prophets or through the prophets. Short. At the time, that was not an issue. That's why it's short. Jesus was controversial. That's why it's long. Okay? Now you know. Now you know. This is the creed of Christian belief. What do you think? You think you believe that, all three? Or is there some part that, is it really that Jesus is the same with? But if you're a Christian, and this Nicene Constantinople Creed until today is being used all over Christian world. If you call yourself Christian church, this is what you believe. Okay. Lord and giver of life. Why? What does that mean? Giver of life. Well, I thought that the one that's giver of life, is it not the maker of heaven and earth? But why the church father, the doctors assign this phrase, giver of life, to the Holy Spirit? Why? Turns out they read their Bible. As simple as that. They read their Bible. And then when they open their Bible, when they sit around trying to decide what is Christian faith is, they open Genesis. And when they open Genesis chapter 1, lo and behold. So that's a, you know, it's a statement that's like old King James. Lo and behold. Turns out even in the first chapter of Genesis, even in the first two verses, Holy Spirit is already there. Really? I never pay attention to that. It's because we never pay attention to that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the ruach. You have to do that. You know. Because this is Hebrew. Hebrew. Ruach. The ruach was hovering over the water. What is ruach? That's how it's written in Hebrew. Ruach. It means the wind. It means the spirit. Some translation of English, there are several translations. Some translation in English says the wind, the breath, and the spirit. Because of the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit, he goes wherever he wants and nobody can tell whether he's here or not. But it's a wind, it's a breath. Turns out, even in Genesis, when God created life on earth, he is already here. He is the one that give lives. Out of land, lives come, plants. And when, if you remember, when Adam was created, God breathed into Adam, spirit. The Holy Spirit is already there. And then they say, okay, fine. We can see that the Holy Spirit is there. He is the force that turns the formless, the darkness, the nothingness into life that is it is on earth right now. When you see plants and animals and human being and the movement, those are Holy Spirit works. He is the giver of life. What about the New Testament? Is there anything in the New Testament that says that he is the giver of life? Sure, they open the New Testament and they see at day one of the church, because where is the day one of the church? When? That means some of you are sleeping, but some of you are awake. But here, Acts chapter 2. Really? Holy Spirit was there? Of course. Day one, the birthday of the church. And suddenly, there came a sound. This is the day of Pentecost, okay? There came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty pneuma. Pneuma. Pneuma is the Greek word. Ruach is the Hebrew word for the same thing. It means the same thing. It means the wind. It means breath. It means, what is that disease? Somebody told me the disease for the lung. What is it? Pneuma. Pneumonia. Pneumonia. The disease of the lung. It's something to do with your breath. It's the same word. Wind, spirit, breath. A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty pneuma, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word Spirit is over and over in that verse. When you look at the Greek original language of that passage, it says pneuma, pneuma, pneuma. Ruach, ruach, ruach. Spirit, spirit, spirit. Turns out, at the beginning of the earth, Holy Spirit was there. At the beginning of the church, Holy Spirit is there. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of life. That day, Pentecost, these are dead people. Dead meaning not necessarily means no physical breath going in and out from your lung. That means, you know, a lot of people are dead before they are dead. Because let's talk about that. Because talking about life, I think it's incomplete without talking about death. And when I talk about death, and when the Bible talk about death, it's not necessarily talking about the lack of oxygen that goes into your lung. Of course, that is also death if there's no oxygen. But when the Bible talk about death, it talks about many, many deaths. Not only physically dead. The Bible says we are all dead in our sin. Sin caused death. So that is dead. Even though you're breathing, but if you're sinful and nobody saved you, you are dead. According to the definition of God's and God's perspective. So we know it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give lives. What is death? Let me tell you several things about death, okay? Death. If in your marriage, we know that we are called to continually loving and learn from one another, but our pride and selfishness constantly rule in our heart, and we are unable or unwilling to respond to the call of God's Spirit to be the husband and wife that reflect the love of Christ. We cannot love because we want to keep our pride. That is death. That is death. As a worker at workplace, we are called to live an honest life, a truthful life. But we are tempted to steal time from our employer by wasting it on things that has produced no benefit for the employer during our working hours, and justify it and ignoring our conscience. That is death. When we have free time, we seek relaxation And we are presented many choices of entertainment, how to spend our time. And we choose the show, the entertainment that caused us to have unholy thinking. And we are unable to say no to things that makes us not holy. And we go to different places that we think that can give us entertainment and relaxation. But turns out at the end you feel guilty, but you do not know how to get out of it. That is death. That is death. In our school, we want to get a good grade. And we are presented with choices. Studying hard. Look at last term papers or do some other dishonest thing. And we just cannot choose the rightful thing to do. That is death. That means inability to respond to the call of God to live a holy life. That is death. Inability to respond to the grace of God that calls you to go closer to God. That is death. We die a slow death when we let this behavior and attitude control our lives. A slow death. But thanks be to God. That was the bad news. From now on, this is the good news. The good news is those who believe in Jesus has Holy Spirit inside. And one of the specialty of the Holy Spirit is to renew, refresh, make certain thing that was dead alive again. That's why you sing earlier the song, let these bones, bones mean dry bones, dead bone, useless bones, to be buried kind of bones, that bones can sing again. It's because of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of life. The Spirit that was hovering means melayang-layang, on the formless earth and hovering above the tired, fearful, hopeless disciple, now for the first time in the day of Pentecost, this way, day of Pentecost is a great day for you to remember, to meditate on, because for the first time, the Spirit that was just hovering now get into the life of the disciple, get into the life of those who believe him, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior. The first time before the Holy Spirit, well, the Holy Spirit, by the way, has already been here in the earth since day one of the earth because he created it. You remember Genesis chapter 1. But he'd never, you know, throughout the whole Old Testament, you know, a lot of godly people came and blah, 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 but they never really have Holy Spirit inside of them permanently. But now, since the day of Pentecost, Jesus had made a way for the Holy Spirit to dwell in life of the believer. So you who believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. That is exciting. That is why the Word of God says Christ in you, the hope of glory. How is Christ in me? I am a human being and you don't see Christ in me, but what he's talking about is the Spirit of God is in you. And the exciting thing is this. Look, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This is exciting. When I read about this, my spirit just explodes. Yeah! Something like that. I don't know if you have ever read something, you know, where you say, yeah! This is the place that you should say that. Here, Romans 8, verse 11. If pneuma of him, I intentionally write pneuma, because if you look in the Greek, it is pneuma, spirit. If pneuma of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you. Who raised Christ from the dead? Come on, read that again. If pneuma of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from, who raised Christ from the dead? Spirit, it's on the first sentence, easy lah ya. You know, look at that. If Numa of him who raised, the Numa is the one who raised, wow, Jesus was raised by the Spirit. Sure, that's what it says. If Numa of him who raised Jesus from the dead, oh, the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Of course, because that is the specialty of the Spirit. He was the one who gave life. Of course, it must be the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. But that is not where I'm excited about. Let me tell you where I'm excited about. Numa of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will, this is where I'm excited about, will give life to your mortal body also through his Numa that dwells in you. Wow. This is, I know that you don't have not think about this through a little bit because this is the first time you hear. But what I think about this, right? Wow. That same Spirit that created the earth on day one of the earth, that same Spirit who started the church, refreshed, renewed dead people spirit, because you understand, the disciple at that time was fearful, afraid, hopeless, their leader died, where to go, no direction, but then the Spirit was poured out, new birth, the birth of the church, the birthday of the church, Pentecost. That same Spirit also raised Jesus from the dead. That same Spirit now live in me. Woo-hoo. Can you imagine that? The kind of life-generating force is in your life. What does it mean? What does it mean for us? This is what it means to me. I don't know about you. Everybody is unique. This is what it means. It means when I am tired and disappointed and hopeless, and I do, I'm a human being. Your pastor is a human being. I'm still stepping on the ground. I'm just like you. And I got tired. I got disappointed. But this is what it means. When a little bit death come to me, I have a power to overcome it. A little bit of death, discouragement, disappointment. And we get a lot of death in our lives coming, attacking us. A few weeks ago, I lost a contract, $200,000 a year contract, loss in my job, my majority of my income. Well, for a few hours, I was like, whoa, what's going on? A little bit death creep into my life. Especially if you are a man and you are the head of the family, you'd know that job and money is sometimes, without you realize it, it becomes your security. Right? Boom. And for a few hours, I was like, okay, I need to sit here. I am disappointed. I am hopeless. But then, the word of God. You know, are you a child of God? Yes, I am. Where do you put your hope? In you, God. Really? Check again. Really? In you or in the 200,000 income? It is in you, God. I passed through that. I struggle a bit, but the Holy Spirit, the source of life, the source of power is in my life. I seek him. I seek him. He strengthened me. In your life, I know I'm not the only person that suffer or have challenge. Some of you have relationship issue. When your boyfriend or your girlfriend says, I don't want you anymore, your heart sink, right? Really? What did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? And you feel a little bit shaky. Death comes to you slowly. If you let that death comes to you and you let it rules over your life, it will become permanent death. But the moment you realize the Spirit of God is inside of you, the source of life, the source of strength, the source of power. You have it if you believe in Jesus. It will become your strength. Right now, I'm okay. I'm joyful because the Spirit already gave new life to me. He refreshed me. He said, don't worry, your lives. Tomorrow the sun will shine, you will breathe. Food will be on the table because I provide you. The joy of the Lord is going to come to you and that's going to be your strength. It's okay. And I can truly say I'm okay, not so that I, you know, well, I'm very, very positive. You think, oh, it's because of his positive thinking. It is none of the positive thinking. Positive thinking only can bring you so far. But the hope in the power of the Holy Spirit will be with you and become the source of your life forever. I just want to encourage you. Some of you is having relationship problem in your family. And a lot of time you feel death comes to you. Let me tell you that the Holy Spirit is your power if you seek him. The Holy Spirit will strengthen you, will renew. That is his specialty. His specialty is edification. Edification, I'm going to go back, go first to this thing, and this is how I'm going to close this message. Edification, and we'll find that word edification in the Word of God that I will show you after this, but let's talk about edification because that is the specialty of the Spirit, is to edify. What does edify mean? Edify is a process to construct, to build, to improve, to renovate, to refresh, to rebirth, to make something new again. That is the specialty of the Holy Spirit since day one of the creation, day one of the church in Pentecost. Now, wow. You have to know the power that is inside of you. I'm so excited because what it means to me when I think about it, nothing is impossible now. If the Spirit, the most powerful force on earth is not, you never have any big wind here like the East Coast. Earthquake. It's not earthquake power. The most powerful force is not the earth mover equipment that can move a lot of rocks. And it's powerful, but that is not. The most powerful force on earth is the power to resurrect something that is dead. You ask me, who can make something dead alive again? Who can make someone who is dead alive again? Who? No one. It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. He is the one that can turn something dead into life. To me, that is the most powerful force on the whole universe. And this force is available to you because Holy Spirit is inside of you. If you have hopelessness in your life, in your family life, in your relationship, you cry out to the Holy Spirit. He can give you new life. If you are hopeless in your future, oh, I have no job, I have no status, I have no boyfriend, I have no girlfriend, the impossibilities will become possibilities because the strength and power that the Holy Spirit. I am so excited, you know, as I said, I'm not always this excited or positive. You know, I'm a human. I go through my life and a lot of challenges and stuff like that. But I have to testify to you that the Holy Spirit power is the one that makes me go on and on and on. I am just as excited today as I am excited when I first received Jesus Christ when I was 20 years old. That was 36 years ago, 1983. That is when I was very excited about Jesus. New birth because of the Holy Spirit back then. And turns out in these 36 years walking with the Lord, the Holy Spirit is still here. I am just still excited. Not because I'm strong. Not because I'm able. Not because I'm stronger than any of you. No, you're the pastor. Of course you have to be strong. No, I'm a human. But I know the Holy Spirit is with me. Just practical, really quick. And then we can sing. How do I draw the power of the Holy Spirit in? Well, number one, I know. After I know, I draw. After I draw, I do. Very quickly, practical. Now you know. You know about the Holy Spirit. You know of His power. After you know, you draw. How do I draw? I read some verses to you. This is simple. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Spirit likes to manifest. What is manifest? Manifest is to take something that is unseen so that it's seen. Spirit is spirit, you cannot see. Manifest means something unseen becomes seen. That's manifest. Spirit likes to manifest because spirit is real and you are real and you expect something real. And the Spirit knows that, so He likes to manifest. So this Holy Spirit is not just a concept, a theory, something abstract. Holy Spirit is real. So He likes to manifest. How He manifests is He gives gifts to help us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts. What is gifts in the context of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? But the same Spirit who gives the gifts. And there are variety of services, but the same Lord. What I'm saying is this. The Holy Spirit wants to manifest Himself in our lives. And the way He does that is He gives gifts. What is the gifts? The gifts of the Spirit, there's a whole semester of possible sermon on what's the gift of the Spirit. But today, I just want to concentrate on one, the one that I draw for the strength. He who speaks in tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mystery. But he who prophesies speaks edification, the word that we looked at. Build up, renew, right? However, in this, but he who speak prophecy speak edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speak in tongue edify himself. Those who prophesy edifies all the church. Edifies, and to me that is real. I need edification. I need to be built up. I need new birth. A lot of time when I'm disappointed, when I am down and I am tired, I need the Spirit to edify me. And it simply give a simple prescription in this verse. It says speak in tongue. That's what I do. That's why I did. And that not only this last one. Every time when I face difficulties in life, because I know the Word of God, because I know that there is a speaking in tongue. I know that the Spirit wants to manifest. I know that the Spirit gives the gifts of tongue. I don't try to rationalize, theorize anything. I simply obey. Do you know that the gifts of God and God's grace sometimes does not need you to understand much? It's just obedient. I probably do not know much about how this all works in the spiritual things. You know, how is this thing is gonna, you know, what is the way the Spirit is delivering this thing and in what way and what kind? I don't know the detail, but I simply read this. He who speak in tongue edify himself. If I speak in tongue, I can be edified. That's what I do. I just speak in tongue. God, I'm so disappointed. This thing is not going my way. And I don't understand how you're going to give new life to me. I don't know the theory, the methods or strategy. But your word says something is available for me. He can edify me when I speak in tongues. So I go launch myself. Hallelujah. Sikaralaba shandalaba sekere. I just talk. And I'm edified. I can stand in you in front of you today saying, I am strong because God's Spirit edify me. There is assurance and confidence. Nothing can harm me. Nothing can make me fall because the Spirit, not because of my own strength, but the Spirit of God. We'll talk about prophecy some other time, because prophecy is all along the line in the 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The prophecy, actually, let me give you a short meaning of this. Prophecy is what I'm doing right now. I am encouraging you and I'm speaking into your life. I'm prophesying into your life that you have the power, you have the Spirit, you can be successful. That is prophecy. It's the building up of your heart. You have to have confidence. You, the reason why you are Christian, hopefully you know that you have a powerful God. You, I know that you want salvation. Oh, after I die, I want to go to heaven. But more than that, I want to speak into your life right now. The fact that you are Christian is because you know you need help in life. And you also know you cannot help yourself. And your parents cannot help you. Your boyfriend or girlfriend or your wife cannot help you necessarily. Something needs God, and you know God can help you. I'm speaking to you. You have to know there's things in life that nobody can help you other than God. I hope you remember this. I hope you are strengthened by this, because the Spirit of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is living inside of you. And I'm hoping those of you who have not known Jesus yet, today you make a decision. Yes, I want to know Jesus. I want to have Him as my Lord and my Savior, so I can experience the power of His Spirit. If you have not known Jesus Christ, today is your day. Talk to me after this. I'll pray for you. I will lead you into the prayer of how to become a believer, so that you too can have the power of the Holy Spirit of Christ inside of you. Let's all stand.